Is that our mothers have gone on to be with the Lord, don't have the pain and suffering and everything. And as Christians, we can appreciate that and know that today. And I'm thankful for that. And I was inspired this week to bring this message. I've never preached it before. But I'd like for all the ladies in the church to stand up. If you're a lady in the church, I want you to stand up. And we want to recognize you because you are the basis of the church today. And the reason I say that, you know, churches is no more than a family of families. And we men might be the head of the church or the head of the household. But the mothers are the heart of a home. Amen. And we commend you. Remain standing. Now, I'd like for all the men to stand. You women come to the, get to the closest man you've got, whether he's here today or not. And I want you to ask them, you pray that I'll be a Proverb 31 mother.
You pray that I will be your prop.
Amen. We could change the world, beginning with mothers today. You know, and what really inspired me, I went to a funeral this week of a saintly patriarch of a mother who was the head of the family in every aspect of the way. And I won't challenge you to be a Proverb 31 mother. That's a big obligation for you women today. It's a great obligation. Y'all may be seated. So if you would today, please turn with us to Proverbs chapter 31. Proverbs chapter 31, which is the last proverb in Solomon's writings over there. It's a beautiful, ancient description of a virtuous woman, and the kind who would make a good wife to her husband or a good mother to her children. And I'll tell you the tactic in 2019, beloved, that the devil is using in America today. And he knows this because he's done it before. He done it and started in the Garden of Eden over there. If he can destroy the family, he can destroy the nation. And what we're seeing take place in America, and a lot of folks says, you know, this is a problem, that's a problem. But the destruction of the family unit in America is the number one problem in America. And I want you to be aware of this at Moss Memorial Church this morning. What a obligation that we have to preserve the family at Moss Memorial Baptist Church. Hey, listen. As we stand, and I'm not going to have you stand again. It's almost getting like a Catholic church. We're not going to have you stand again. If I have any Catholics I've offended over the thing, call me and speak to my wife. But but listen, in Proverbs chapter 31, and I'm going to read, we're going to be reading most of this, but it gives an outline about what a virtuous woman should be. In other words, it's giving us a blueprint as to what God would want us to be, as to what God would want us to have. And I'm going to challenge you men today to encourage them to become this woman. And the reason I say that, if we'll encourage them to become that Proverb 31 woman, it'll make us happy. Amen. Why is that? It's because we won't have a problem being a husband to such a woman. Amen. I want you to realize that today. That's why the Bible told us over there. He said, cleave unto a woman. And I still believe in one woman and one man. Amen. And but that's another message for a different day. The Bible's going to read, we're going to read a few verses. The Bible says, and starting with Proverbs chapter 31 and verse 10. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. And she will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hand. She is like a merchant ship. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it was yet night and giveth meat unto her household and a portion unto her maidens. She considereth the field and buyeth it, and the fruit of her hand she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her horns with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth out by night. She layeth her hand to the spindle, and her shaft holdeth the staff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yet she reacheth forth her hand to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow, for her household are clothed with scarlet. And she maketh herself covering with tapestry. Her cloth is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates, and he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and deliver girdles unto the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in the time to come. She opened her mouth with wisdom in her tongue, and is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou exceedest all. Favor is deceit and beauty is vain, but the woman that feareth the Lord shall be praised. Give unto her the fruit of her hand, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for your blessed word. We thank you for the portrait, Lord, that you've given us of a virtuous woman. And Father, let us begin at Moss Memorial Church that we might be inclined in our hearts to hold fast to the family unit as described in your word, Lord. And Father, that we might dedicate ourselves as husbands, wives, children, that we could make a difference at Moss Memorial Church by simply being a family unit. Lord, we thank you so much that you gave us this message. And pray that it might go out. For these things we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Beloved, as we look into the Word of God, I want to just point out a few things. And we're going to go back and read two verses. And it said, who can find a virtuous woman, for her price is far above rubies? And the heart of her husband does safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoils. I want you to realize today, not only the ladies, but the men, that a virtuous woman is a woman that is morally pure. Morally pure. And I'll tell you, we're living in times in 2019 that we see morality just going every which way. And as a matter of fact, they're wanting to change the goalpost and change the bounds by which we live in. But I want you to realize here today that if it was wrong in Solomon's time, it's wrong today. If it's wrong today, it was wrong because God said, I changeth not. I'm glad today that they are some morally pure women in the world today. Oh, I want you to think just for a moment. Said a good woman is virtuous. A virtuous woman is a crown unto her husband, but he does not make of him ashamed. And that's what he's talking about, spoil. Hey, listen. I thought about Hosea and Gomer over there. You read about them over there. And how that, you know, how he loved her so much, even though she was so immoral and she was so backslidden and she was in such a way. But yet, he loved her anyhow. And what a hard it would have been to love a woman like that. How hard it would have been to care for a woman like that. But I'm glad today that God has showed us that when we get saved, that we have that kind of love, that we can love someone unconditionally. Note, if you will, in verse 12. Verse 12 said, she will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. You know, a man can trust a virtuous woman. Now, notice over here that a virtuous woman is devoted to the welfare of her husband. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. That's why he can trust her completely. Now, I'm not, you know, I see folks and I hear folks you ever be around these folks that just always tear somebody down? Husband tearing down the wife. Wife tearing down the husband. That's no good. That's no good. And I'll tell you the reason why. A virtuous woman is ethically upright. Now, we were all taught as kids to come out and say, how many of y'all were brought up and said, if you ain't got nothing good to say, don't say nothing at all? I mean, did we always live by that? Did we always follow that? No, and I've got the scars to prove it. A virtuous woman in that with, I'm going to give you a little Mount Hebrew right here. Be sweet. One to another. That's not hard to do. You know what I'm saying over there? But it said that this virtuous woman, that she would build her husband up. Ethically upright. She had industrious opportunities. Look at verses 13 through 14. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willing with her hand, and like a merchant ship, she bringeth in her food from afar, and she riseth up also of the night, that give meat unto her household and a potion unto a maiden. She considered buyeth a field and buyeth it, and the fruit of the hands, and planted it. And she girded up the loins with strength and strength of arm. And she perceived the merchandise is good, and her candle goeth out not by night. She layeth her hand to the spindle, and her hand holdeth the staff. I don't know any other way to put this. Do you know the Lord condemns laziness? So if you're lazy right here, this is for you today. Listen. I tell you what the Bible said over, and I believe it's Proverbs chapter 22, and if I'm wrong, you can watch me flip pages until I find it. But I believe it's in Proverbs chapter 22, and it is in it's Proverbs 20, verse 4. Yes, that's where I'm wanting to go. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 4 says this. Do y'all know what a snail is? Boy, I like them snails. You know, you put salt on them and they just kind of dissolve. I mean, everybody, okay. You know what a snail is, don't you? Well, Solomon compared lazy people to a snail. He said, the slugger will not plow by reason of the cold, and therefore shall he beg and harvest and have nothing. In other words, I can find all kinds of excuses not to work until it's time to eat. Amen? Do you know what the Bible says about laziness? He says, if man don't work, don't let him eat. That's what the Bible says. But he said, you slugs go over there and you find every excuse in the world not to plow. It's too cold, it's too hot. But when harvest time comes, you're going to go out here and beg for you something to eat. Well, there's a message in that for a lot of folks, ain't there? Hey, listen, I don't like lazy people. Neither does the Lord. Amen. I want you to realize that today. Listen, it said a virtuous woman is industrially active. Now, what does that mean? Well, it warns against that a virtuous woman will not only work, but she will find joy in her work. You know, if you go out here and find something you dearly love to do, you will never work a day for the rest of your life. But not only will she work, she'll enjoy what she does. You know, women, I'm going to preach to the women just a minute. I'll get the men here in just a second. Women, somewhere down the path, we lost the joy of just being a mother. Seemed like it became more troublesome than it used to be. Seemed like that we took a joy away. But you know, the greatest pleasure on the face of the earth that God has ever given a human being was making you a mother. He said, well, it's easy for you to stand up there, you male chauvinist thing. You ain't never been a mother. You don't know what you're talking about. I know what God said. But yet we waste that sometimes because we don't enjoy the work. Here we have a woman over there that was industrious and she was virtuous and she worked alongside over there that things might be better. My grandpa gave me some advice growing up. My grandpa was Olive, not a very educated man, a very smart man, not a religious man, but he told me one time, and this was what he called me growing up. He said, "Boy, don't marry one of them fancy women, because them fancy women can shovel it out the back door or spoon it out the back door faster than you can shovel it into the front door." Now that's mountain wisdom. In other words, a virtuous woman was industrious in the thought about income. In other words, I'm going to work too, and I'm going to enjoy my work. And you know one thing, if you really want to get on the bad side of me, you mothers that stay home and you are lucky enough to stay home and take care of your kids, you're blessed beyond measure, I'll tell you that right now. Not having to send your kids to daycare, not having to depend on somebody else, and God has blessed you with an avenue by which you can stay home and take care of your kids, you are blessed beyond measure. And I don't want to hear you coming up there, and when I ask you what you do for a living, and you say, "Well, I'm just a housewife." A lot of these other women sure like to be just a housewife. Amen? Can I get a witness on that, women? She was industrially active. But there's three things that really jumped out about me. Was not only was she industrial active, she was economically prudent. Economically prudent. And I guess that might say she's a little stingy once in a while. Amen. Economically prudent. Well, as I tell you, one of the most evil things that we have in 2019 for some people, you're carrying it around in your wallet right now. It's called a credit card. Amen. You know, a lot of folks don't know how to deal with them things. Amen. You know what I'm saying? But when I say they were economically prudent, it said over there that she considered a field. It's the thing I want you to notice that. And buyeth it, and with the fruit of her hand, she planted a vineyard. Now, when I say she was economically prudent, there's three verbs which complement the financial wisdom of a good woman. And by the way, the word virtuous means good, a good woman. You know, we oftentimes use that. Well, she's a good woman. She's a good woman. Well, that's what they're saying. She's a virtuous woman. She's a good woman. Notice, she considered. She thought things through. You ever make a bad economical judgment? Well, sure you did. I made one last night. I went to this thing and I got caught up. I done the NRA thing last night. I spent $300 on a $25 cooler. I got another one in the back of my truck. You know, we auctioneers, we get in trouble sometimes. They bring up a piece, I think it's worth $500 or $600. So we go in there and we $150 bid over there, would have been $175 would have been two. I look around, there ain't no two. So guess what I'm hauling around in the back of my car today? That $175 item. Didn't consider. Well, just as I make stupid mistakes over there, how many of y'all would like to testify at the church about your stupid financial mistakes. A virtuous woman considers. Notice she didn't just run out and do it. She considered it. She thought it out. And listen, that's part of being a Proverbs 31 woman today, is that you consider things. You think through things. But notice that also a Proverb 31 don't only consider, but she wasn't afraid to commit. She bought it. Well, I tell you what, how many times could we, if we had considered things, and I know we can look back and remember when, oh, if we'd only bought that, oh, what it would be worth today. Considered, and then she committed. But notice something else. After she considered and committed, the Bible says, and she went out and she planted that field. A Proverbs 31 lady today will be one that will think things through, not afraid to make a commitment. And once a commitment is made, she will work to make it work out. Amen. I tell you what, I'm listening, young folks, this is for you. Let's forget about it. I don't care if you're male or female, listen to me just for a moment. One of the great problems that we have in America today is quitters. They quit. They quit. That's why 50% of all marriage will end in divorce today. Why is that? It's because people are raised up to quit and not follow through. Proverbs chapter 31 says that this 31 woman will think things through. She will make a firm commitment, and then she will roll up her sleeves and make that commitment work. Make that commitment work. She's economically prudent. Good financial judgment. Good financial judgment. Number one problem. Number one reason for divorce, and I know one of y'all is going to say infidelity. No, that's number two. Number one reason for divorce is finances. I'm going to tell you something. There's too many marriages today. I have too many checkbooks. And I'm going to step on somebody's toes here, and that'd be all right. You got your money and her money. They ain't got none of our money. Amen? Listen, are you with me on that? So what you're saying is, Lord, I made a vow one day, and I vowed that I'd stick with him through thick and thin. I'd stick through him through health and wealth and all like that. And I'm going to share everything in my life, but not my money. That's wrong. That's wrong. Financial good. Financial judgment. Hey, if I'm going to marry her till death do us part, I'm not going to have a problem in her signing one of my checks. Amen. And she ain't going to have a problem with me if that's a Proverb 31 woman. Why is that? She's probably going to use better judgment than I would anyhow. Don't we need Proverb 31 women? I want the women to amen me today. I tell you, I like that women amen me, especially when I'm on to them right there. Notice that another thing, she is benevolently, and that's a real word, I just can't say it real good, benevolently generous. Look if you will, over there in verse 20. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yet she reacheth forth her hand to the needy. Love never stops at home. If we had more Proverbs 31 women in this world today, it would change the world in which we live. Because love does not stop at the door. You know, a good example of that, and I don't have time to go into it, but you can look me up over there, is in Acts chapter 9 over there. There is a woman by the name of Terabea, who we know as Dorcas. And it said over there that she died one day and that they had gathered around and that she was a woman, a virtuous woman over there who was very industrious over there, and she was so thought of in the community. And they were over there and they were actually having a preview of her, and they were showing off all the garments she had made and bragging about the quilts she had made and all the crafts that she had made. And they were having a big time over there rejoicing in this old saint of God over there. Peter walked in over there and he got over there next to the body. He touched her over there. She opened up her eyes. He lifted her and she rose up from the dead. See, God's got a miracle for a virtuous woman. God's got something good for a virtuous woman. I could have preached on that. And that's in Acts chapter 9, verses 36 through 41, if you're going to check me after the service. Notice one more thing in verse 23. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She has kindness plus grace. You know that, and I want to go back and talk about that just for a second. She had kindness plus grace. Notice that her husband was known in the gates. In other words, she wasn't ashamed of him. And she didn't mind letting everybody know about it. Probably bragged on him a little bit. Probably patted him on the back a little bit. Probably even gave him a little attaboy once in a while. But he was known in the gates because she was a helper to her husband. Now, ladies, I'll just tell you the truth. For some of these men, they ain't no help for him. Can I get a witness on that? Huh? Yeah, for some of these men, they ain't no help for him. But a virtuous woman was a help to her husband. You ever see folks that were married and they just worked against each other? How did that work out for them? I tell you right now, it didn't. It didn't work out for them. Why is that? Because the Bible says when you got married, you become twain, you become as one. In other words, that can't be separated either. You became one organism in the sight of God over there. And if you truly have the bond of matrimony that God intended for us over there, then you would be a help to your husband. Can you imagine what some of these old poor old boys might have amounted to if that woman had helped him along the way? Because we don't know what we're doing. Most of the time, and we need your help. We need your help. Last thing, and we've run out of time. Verses 28 through 31 talks about not only was she morally pure, not only was she ethically upright, not only was she industrious and active, not only was she economically prudent, not only was she benevolently generous, not only was that, she was a helper to her husband, but the last thing, she was honored. Bible says she was honored by her children. Her children riseth up and call her blessed. I don't know of anything in the world that could be a greater compliment than your children rising up and calling you blessed. Listen, I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of folks right here that's going to sit by the telephone hoping their children do call. There's folks over there that haven't spoken to their kids in years. Oh, if we could heal the wounds. You say, well, it's not your fault. It might not be your fault. Listen. But a virtuous woman is honored. Now, I can't help your crazy kids. I can't help your crazy, you might not receive the, what am I wanting to say? You might not receive the recognition. You might not receive, but that still don't mean that you're honored just because somebody don't tell you that. Amen. Amen. God loves virtuous women. Not only will her children call up and call her blessed, that's the greatest compliment a mother can speak. So many speak of the lifelong, a great woman will be exercised by her children. You know, I don't care what you say. Our children are the reflection of what we taught them to be. I don't care. Or maybe not what you taught them to be. Somebody taught them to be that way. But I want you to realize today that, how many of y'all realize today that you probably need a little work in some of these areas without a show of hands? I dare say we're 100%. That need a little work in these areas. That's what my altar call is today. Lord, help make me a Proverb 31 woman this Mother's Day. Sometimes it takes little baby steps to get there, don't it? Hey, some of y'all need to come pray for children. Some of y'all need to come and pray for husbands. Some of y'all need to become over there. Because I believe a virtuous woman would do all these things. Men, I believe you need to come and pray with them. I believe you need to come. Pray for families. Children, I believe you need to come with them. We're going to give an invitation here, and I hope I ain't got a pew back there with anybody sitting in it. Y'all come on. Y'all come on. This could very change the world in which we live in. You say, well, I've got a man I can't do nothing with. I know one who can. Amen. I know when God got a hold of me, he made a better husband out of me. How many of you men can have to profess that? Amen. Hey, if you've never been saved by the grace of God, I can tell you right now, you're not the man you ought to be. I can tell you that right now. Ladies, if you've never, ever come to know Jesus Christ to pre-pardon the sin, you'll never, ever, 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 ever be the woman that God would have you be. Will you please come? Will you please come this Mother's Day? All it will. Please come.
My Savior calling.
Y'all come on. Y'all come on.
Savior calling. Can hear my Savior calling.
Come on, there's plenty of room. Come on.
Where he leads me. leads me, I will follow.
Come on, y'all go ahead and make room. Come on. Y'all come on.
I will follow. I'll go with him all the way. Let us all pray. Lord, we've all come here today, and we just ask, Lord, that you would be with all those that have come. And Father, we just pray that you would touch the hearts of both men and women today, families and children. Father, that we would hold each other up, Father, with your blood-stained banner, Lord, and that you would instill in us the values you'd have for us to be, Father, and that we'd help each other, that we'd be the people that God would have for us to be, Lord. We just pray that as we know that there's many here that's come to pray for children, they've come to pray for grandchildren, they've came up here, Father, to pour their heart before you. And Father, we pray that you'd strengthen them, and Father, that you might put a smile on their face, because let them know that you are acknowledging this in their lives, and Father, that you have taken that, and Father, that you are now the ball's in your hand, and that you're going to play it, Lord. And we thank you so much for them, Lord. We just pray that you'd go, and that you would go, and that you'd bless each one that's come. And Father, we just pray that you'd use this moment to make an eternal difference, Lord. And all these things, we're going to ask all of God's people to say, amen and amen. Amen. Backed up here to start a kindling up, but that's okay. Deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore.